A reading from the book of the prophet Micah. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, that dwells apart in a woodland in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old, as in the days when you came from the land of Egypt. Show us wonderful signs. Who is there like you, the God who removes guilt and pardons sin from the remnant of his inheritance? Who does not persist in anger forever, but delights rather in clemency, and will again have compassion on us, treading underfoot our guilt? You will cast into the depths of the sea all our sins. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and grace to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. The word of the Lord. The Lord is kind and merciful. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He pardons all our iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
He will not always chide, nor does he keep his wrath forever. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. As for the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, as far has he put our transgressions from us.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country. where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" Verbum Domini.
I read an article recently about different searches that people have made regarding God. And so there was a study done about what are the most common internet searches about God. And the first one was, who created God? Well, of course, no one created God. God is being itself. He is the essence of existence, and anything that exists, exists by his holding it in existence and creating it. The second question was, why does God allow suffering? This is the perennial question, isn't it, that the book of Job tries to wrestle with as well, but is answered in Jesus and his own suffering and his death. There's always a mystery, of course, about suffering, and yet Christ doesn't give us an abstract answer, but he answers from the cross through his own suffering and his love. But the third question surprised me. The third most searched for question, at least at this time some years ago, was, why does God hate me? Why does God hate me? And that perhaps is an experience of some of our audience, some of you, that because of the way things have gone in your life, you've come to that conclusion that God hates you. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. And today's gospel from Luke 15 really illustrates that. It's commonly called the parable of the prodigal son, but perhaps more accurately could be called the prodigal of the merciful father. And that we heard that when the son was still a long way off, the father caught sight of him, which implies really that he was looking on the horizon, always looking for his son's return. And when he spots him a long way off, he runs to him. He runs to him. And he embraces him. And he kisses him. And he shows the restoration of the dignity. You know, Pope John Paul wrote in his Apostolic Exhortation on Reconciliation and Penance that mercy, when we receive mercy, we don't feel belittled, but we feel restored. And that's what mercy does, that we feel restored. We're back. Our dignity is given to us anew. And so he's clothed in the finest cloak, and a ring is put on his finger and sandals on his feet. His dignity is restored. And that's what the Lord wants for all of us. You know, St. Augustine, of course, who had his own story of being away from the Lord. In fact, he speaks about the husks, you know, when he was away from the Lord, the husk of the swine. But in his Confessions, Book 3, Chapter 11, he speaks about his mother's grief over his being away from the faith, but how the Lord gave her a dream that consoled her and gave her courage. And in this dream, she sees that, and she is told by this radiant being, that where you are, he will be, speaking of Augustine, her son. Where you are, he will be. And that he was going to come back. He was going to come to the faith. But he says something very beautiful here that I wanted to especially point out in this theme today, where this question, you know, why does God hate me? And here's what Augustine says, and really realize that this is like in the year 400 AD, around that era. He's saying, you know, how could he have come back to the Lord? How could he have changed his life? It was the tears of his mother. In fact, after this dream she had, it was still 9 years that Augustine says that he was still floundering in the mud. But he did come back. He became a great doctor of the church. But he wrote this: how else could this have happened if not because your ears were open to the plea of her heart? But this is the line I want to emphasize. O good and all-powerful God, who care for each of us as though each were the only one, who care for each of us as though each were the only one. You know, I've read that in some of the writings of the saints. Mother Angelica used to say that too. Do you know that God loves you as if you were the only one? And I couldn't really get my mind around that. And so I was praying about that one day, and the Lord gave me an insight, I believe, of a family that has many children. I've heard this sad story a number of times where one of the children just decides to be alienated from the family. They'll have nothing to do with the parents, with the family. They just want to go off and do their own thing, whatever reasons that may be. Well, those parents who have the other children and grandchildren, are they happy in the love that they enjoy with their children and their grandchildren? Well, of course they are. But do they not still grieve for that one who's alienated themselves from them? Of course they do. Do they not rejoice when that person returns? All the more. And this is a way I think that we can understand that God loves each of us as if we were the only one. Of course, He's God. He's the uncreated one. He's brought all of us into being. And He knows us. He sees us. And He loves us, each one. And this is what our Lord is teaching in this parable in Luke chapter 15. And so, you know, there was a beautiful prayer at the National Eucharistic Congress that was led by Father Josh Johnson. And I've sometimes given this as advice to people who maybe were struggling with that same question: why does God hate me? And this prayer that he led us all in, maybe 50,000 people in this time of adoration: oh God, help me to see myself as you see me. Oh God, help me to know myself as you know me. Oh God, help me to love myself as you love me. Oh God, help me to see others as you see them. Oh God, help me to know others as you know them. Oh God, help me to love others as you love them. That's the truth. How God sees us, how he knows us, how he loves us. That's the truth of who we are. That's the truth of our dignity. We're not some insignificant speck in this vast universe that just kind of happened by chance. No, not at all. God brought us into being. He thought of us. He delighted in the thought of us. And so he brought us into being. And should we stray away, he's looking on the horizon for our return. And so what is the solution when we feel that we are far away? You know, one time I was driving up to Hansville to serve at the shrine. I stopped at the Exxon station. And I'm wearing my Franciscan habit, filling up the car. This young man in his 20s drives up. So what's with the garb? So what's with the garb? And so I told him, you know, I was a Catholic priest and I serve over at the shrine here. I said, "Do you ever hear of the shrine?" And he said, "Yes. Do they have confessions over there?" And I was expecting that maybe he's going to challenge, you know, confession. I said, "Yes, we have confessions every day there." And he said, "I've always wanted to do that." He wasn't Catholic. "I've always wanted to do that." You see, when we feel that we are away from the Lord and we know our conscience pricks us to return to the Lord, we want to do that. We want to say like this prodigal son, "I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you. I don't deserve to be called your son." But what does the Lord do? He embraces him. Some have described that as confession, embraces him. He kisses him, the gift of the Eucharist that touches our lips. That's what he wants for us. So what is the solution when we find ourselves far away? Well, let's do what the tax collectors and sinners in today's gospel did. They were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. So draw near, listen to Jesus. And if you have that question maybe on your own mind, why does God hate me? draw near, listen to Jesus. Listen to Luke chapter 15. Read that prayerfully today. And what was he accused of? What was Jesus accused of? This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Don't expect to be shunned by the Lord, but expect rather to be welcomed. He's going to invite you to eat with him, especially the gift of the Holy Eucharist. And finally, I conclude with the beautiful words of Micah chapter 7 today. And it's like he's just caught up in this rejoicing in how good God is. Who is there like you? The God who removes guilt and pardons sin. Who delights rather in clemency. Who cast into the depths of the sea all our sins. What does that remind you of? The divine mercy, the ocean of mercy, in which he casts into the depths of the sea all of our sins. So be not afraid. God does not hate you. The dignity is what St. Augustine understood. Even when he had been away from the Lord and through the prayers of his mother Monica returned. O good and all-powerful God, Augustine wrote, who care for each of us as though each were the only one.